Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
We got our countdown to the games actually counting in the bubble, the resumption of the regular season. Today you had the Lakers playing, and I think I had to turn down an invitation. I couldn't get there in time with the number of guys that sat out for rest purposes, as it were.
Well, not a who's who, it's a who's that sort of game. That's
which,
what it was.
Which is good. I mean, look, it's all good. It's basketball back in full effect. I watched some women's National Soccer League yesterday. They had the final in the morning, so that went down. And baseball finds a way, right? Go back into the James Earl Jones speech, as we love it so much, from Field of Dreams. It pushes on. Now, obviously, the story of the morning was, I told you so, or you hate sports, you don't want it to come back. Two sides of the spectrum, and they're all idiots. In the middle is where we come to, Dan, and really it's just like the rest of the things going on in society. You got to find the nice meaty middle, and that's where you should be, somewhere in that area, because no, the sky is not falling. Baseball will persevere, so the I told you it needs to be shut down crowd can sit down for a minute. And the other that were shouting back, you hated sports and you're cheering for this all to happen, well, they can shut up too. The bottom line is, it's a moving target, and all the policies and procedures that you put in place, you do your best, and you succeed and proceed, survive, and advance. We saw it with the Marlins and the number of positive tests from earlier. You had the COVID-19 outbreak, so the Marlins home opener gets postponed. Phillies, Yankees get postponed. The Marlins ties in a bit to another story we'll talk about in the NBA with Lou Williams, because there's speculation that it was all about being in Atlanta that did the Marlins down. And, well, we saw what Lou Williams and Atlanta and what got trending. And I want to know what for that establishment, which we'll talk about later, I want to know what the free advertising has been worth and how many more wings they've sold during this process. But, Dan, it's a story that I was inevitable,
yeah,
from where I sat, that we'd have some tests. Now, the number of positive tests, once you get past in into double digits, you start getting concerned on a larger scale. But with the protocols in place, look, athletes from the time they're 12, 13, pick your arbitrary age, you know, they're cut out a little differently to get to this level of success and accomplishment, right? That
1%. Sure. Absolutely.
So to say they're necessarily going to act like the general public in all respects is foolhardy, particularly when you're talking about billions of dollars being on the line. What you need to do here, from my point of view, is take everybody into the rooms, ask all the questions that you need to, try to figure out the commonality of where people may have traveled or who they'd been in contact with, because testing as you did after the first weekend of the season, that means you probably had it beginning of last week or thereabouts, right? Where we're talking about several days before it manifests itself.
Sure.
So, all right, where did you guys go as a group? Or is it spread one-to-one, but start doing your contact tracing and everything we hear, all those buzzwords. But those that were expecting a shutdown need to be reminded of all the businesses that are still running, including the place paying you to write columns or do video hits. Business goes on.
I'm much more cautious, I think, than others are in looking at this situation. And when I see what is happening with Major League Baseball, what was so surprising, Mike, about this specific case and what I don't think people grasped was that the Marlins were the ones who tested positive, and now it affects not just one other team, it affects three other teams.
Right.
And that's where you're now saying, okay, so the Marlins played the Phillies, and so now the Marlins can't play the Orioles. But not only that, because of that, Phillies-Yankees ends up being postponed because of this. And that's where the spread is. And I do think I can't stand on Twitter people saying people are cheering against sports. And it's such a passive aggressive thing that you hear so much of why are people rooting? I don't think anybody is rooting against sports. The problem, Mike, is, and this is where Major League Baseball is Major League Baseball was the situation that college football and the NFL needed to take note of, because they aren't going to play in the bubble right, like the NBA. And to your point of who, you know, these guys going on road trips, the only thing that you know how to do on road trips is do what you've done in the past. And I actually think, and not to get on the old Corona Bros pedestal, but it's one of the problems that we're seeing is everybody thinks it's life as usual. And I think that's the case with some of the players that we had with the Marlins of, hey, life is, let's just go on life as usual. It's not going to affect me. Well, now it's affected them because they aren't playing in a bubble situation. They are going on road trips. The NFL, you could fly in on a Saturday, leave after your game on Sunday. Not a big deal. But there are a lot of gaps here with Major League Baseball, and the players not taking responsibility not only affects their team, it affects the team they played against and future opponents. And that's why I think it is a little bigger deal than maybe people thought of as the surface, because, Mike, I thought people would say five guys aren't playing. Guess what? Those five guys are going to sit out for 2 weeks and everything's going to go as normal. Well, now we have four teams affected by this. So how is this all going to play out? Those are the questions that pop up in my mind, and I think the issues that we've got now with the Marlins.
We'll have Scott Miller on a little bit later on to talk about this and, you know, baseball's ever-evolving.
Sure.
Okay. Just like the medical response and all of our governmental leaders, it's the, as we've said on the show all along, Dan, the Barack Obama, my opinion is evolving on this topic, seems to be the way to go as you try to pull this all back, right? Rick Renteria of the White Sox, he had some illness and it turns out tested negative, but anxious moments for the White Sox. They were rained out today. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow, but same circumstance of, all right, now immediately the speculation begins and the questions and queries of, you know, what people are doing alongside their normal responsibilities. And I think that's where we're at in terms of the social contract of this all, Dan, is if you are going to try to get a season in place, if you only go to the prescribed places, i.e. the hotel, on the road trip, on the airline, and you're going to and from the ballpark, that seems to be the contract you entered by showing up to summer camp, mm-hmm. right? Likewise, football sure. players, right? Pete Carroll's been quoted about it. A number of coaches expressed their skepticism based on scale for the NFL. Most notably, we go back to John Harbaugh probably about 2 months ago as, you know, started talking about theoreticals. But just the idea that you, by showing up to work and collecting what's left of your paycheck or paying off with your play what you got advanced in some cases for some of the major leaguers, it's the, I'm going to go to work and this is it. This is my life for the next 3 months. And for the NFL players, it's going to be the same effect. Because you saw a number of players lamenting, all right, we won't go to, you know, the normal team dinner here in Chicago mm-hmm. or the normal team dinner here, you know, insert place here. And then you can snicker, and not you, but the collective you out there, our extended family on the of the Fox Sports Radio listening audience, what other places one might frequent on road trips and laugh, and we'll all stipulate to that. But the fact is that it's not life as normal all the way. Right. If you're an NBA player, you're in the bubble. Right. As long as you're in the bubble, in theory, they've got enough protocols that shouldn't be pierced. Now, we'll talk about Lou Williams later, who, whether you like it or not, I mean, the optics of what he did may be worse than what he did. But that's a whole other thing. But for baseball and football, you know the rules of engagement. So be an adult.
The fact that Major League Baseball had their intake testing and then their monitoring testing, and the numbers come back so low. And to have that change, you're thinking like, all right, we've got past the first hurdle. Like everybody's within their bubble. But yeah, Mike, once the road game started, once the exhibition games, and you start moving on that, it's a different story. And I do think that the NFL has a better chance because of the lack of travel time that you're going to have. I also do believe that when you're members of the Miami Marlins and you are sitting there before the game and you have a couple of guys who aren't feeling well and you decide to let's play on anyway, there's something wrong with that. And I think I blame the players, but then there's also just that mentality. I mean, there's guys who, you know, who are like, I'm going to go to work anyway, even though I'm sick with a cold and the flu.
You leave our coworkers alone.
Well, it's like, no, we don't want you at work. And in this situation, that's what was so amazing to me was that you had a couple of guys and there was a group text message going on, and they still thought like the whole reason that we're in this situation and they're in this situation is because of what could lead with those symptoms. And people still decided to play and still put their own players at risk and have other opposing players at risk. Like it's that to me is an enormous lapse in judgment. And maybe because of that, Mike, maybe the Marlins are going to teach everyone a lesson. I don't know if that's the case. That may be wishful thinking, but maybe this is the lesson that, you know, NFL players will need to learn and the rest of Major League Baseball has to learn that if you are feeling sick, don't show up to the ballpark. You know, have the group text and not be there and try to stay as much as you can. So, you know, with all the negativity, maybe this is just the positive. And it happened to the Marlins, who, by the way, likely weren't going to be one of the 16 teams that we saw in the postseason. The point being is this could be used as a lesson of what not to do since we're, what, 5 days into the resumption of the season. Hopefully these guys can learn a lesson from this because it's pretty absurd. And 5 days may even be a bit of a stretch considering it likely happened, as you said, before the start of the games on Thursday with the exhibition games last week in Atlanta.
Yeah, so you have these games that are postponed, right? So Monday and Tuesday for Orioles, Marlins, two teams destined to be outside your 16-team playoff. So it's almost like they fixed it, figuring, well, if there's going to be any problems, let's try to make as many matchups as we can where there's nothing affected in terms of playoff start. I got to call it what it is. You match the Orioles and Marlins.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Now, Phillies, Yankees, obviously two teams predicted to be atop their respective leagues, or at least in contention. The Yankees, certainly, and then the Phillies, depending on who you ask. Either a darling or one that it'd say, well, I don't know. But either way, contending teams. So, that's the biggest thing, Dan, is, you know there was going to be a little bit of a push. And now it's all about baseball's response. And for David Price and for everybody else that's going after Rob Manfred, and look, we've taken our shots at Rob Manfred. There were long periods of quiet before the inevitable 11th hour slap fight that happened. And is baseball going to happen? Bottom line is the Players Association signed off on the protocol. Now, maybe they felt they had no other chance. Well, then that meant from a negotiation standpoint, something broke down and failed on their end and on the leagues. You know, so maybe they'll file a grievance and we'll see some problems pop up there. But in the end, they agreed to it. So now it's all right, how do we adapt? Succeed and proceed. The John Calipari once again. How do we fix this and fix the protocols, make sure we're taking best practices? And for players, as you said, Dan, normally it's a shrug it off, go to work, drink your Gatorade, and try to get through your hours, whatever job you're doing. This isn't the time for it.
No.
You know, it's not being tough. It's you got to be smart. And when it comes down to it, you might think it's just, hey, I didn't sleep well, so I'm not feeling right. But there might be more to it. So let's be smart and protect the sanctity of this 60-game schedule.
Yeah, rip Manfred all you want in Major League Baseball, but you had guys who weren't feeling well that showed up to work. You know, and however they contracted it. Maybe I'm not being fair, Mike, because I don't know what they did socially. But I just am thinking to try to limit their exposure, and it's a, you know, your first road trip of the season after, you know, having your summer camp at your own ballpark. I would just have to think that that is probably where the exposure occurred. People going out and maybe not necessarily being smart. We all want to go out. Everybody wants to go out. Okay, but we just need to be smart about it. And unfortunately, the Marlins just weren't that smart.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us as he does each and every week on the hotline, NFL reporter, CBS Sports host over at 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. It's our buddy Jason Lockenfora. You can find him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. I know the hot topic of debate, as you had a baseball game that you should have been commenting on today, Jason, but a no-go, so that takes center stage in our sporting universe.
Yeah, I mean, MLB is, what, 4 days into this thing, and already we've got a pretty serious situation here that's impacted at least four teams and one umpiring crew for now, and hopefully doesn't spread much beyond that. And the Orioles and the Marlins won't play tomorrow night either, and we'll see, pending the results of the Marlins testing, if they're able to field a team that could play here in Baltimore on Wednesday. And I guess some of the governor and state health officials would have to sign off on that as well. You know, when you're, it's just this country, you know, we haven't had a unified national response to this thing. And these states are kind of all doing their own thing, and it's being handled differently in different spots. And now you're talking about teams, in the cases of baseball and football, who aren't in a bubble, who aren't in a quarantine situation. And now they're, you know, transporting around the country into these different states that all have different things you can and can't do and what you should and shouldn't do. It's gonna be quite a chore to keep this thing rolling. But you know, we'll see.
What are the parts that the NFL could take from Major League Baseball in trying to pull off an NFL season? Are there certain parts more than others, well, Jason, that they're looking at?
My biggest takeaway right now would be, you better be prepared to test every day beyond just the first 2 weeks. There are different lag times involved with the test. The NFL is adamant that their test, they'll get results within 18 to 24 hours, but no test is has 100% efficacy. There's always the possibility for false positives, false negatives. And, you know, the case of the Marlins seems to be this sort of two-day lag between when guys were tested. And even monitoring players and contact tracing and everything else, you run into a situation where whether that thing spread on a plane, or, you know, whether it was spreading before they got to Philly or once they got to Philly, or what happened this weekend, clearly there was a period of time where they thought they had maybe two or three cases, and now it turned out to be 14. I don't know how, without a bubble, you're going to be able to do this when you're talking NFL teams. And the GMs I talk to think conservatively, even if you eliminate most non-essential football people, when you're talking 80 players, you're talking 20-some coaches, you're talking 10 to 15-person training staff, plus, you know, people to cut the grass, people to feed, it's at least 150 people. And times 32, do the math. Now, that's a big load and a lot of stress to for these testing sites to be able to keep, you know, churning out those results for that many people on a daily basis. But I think, again, 3 days into this, if I was looking at this from 30,000 feet running the NFL, I would say, okay, you see how quickly we can have, you know, chinks in the armor if there is even a 1 or 2 day lag time and the wrong, you know, and some team gets itself in a situation where it starts multiplying, what are we going to do? And so now we know that baseball is going to go back to testing the Marlins more regularly, but, you know, some of the damage has clearly already been done.
How much do you think it would cost the NFL to try to implement a bubble last minute, right? What would give to the players have to be?
I think we're past the point of no return on that. I mean, that would have had to, you know, they spent 3 months negotiating addendum to the CBA for return to play under, you know, under the confines of COVID. I mean, to go back to these guys and say, yeah, on second thought, we're going to put everybody in hotels, and you're going to sign your life away for the next 7 months. I think that would have had to been the plan from the giddy up. I don't know how you go to that model. I don't even know that they would have the wherewithal to pull it off. I mean, some of these facilities are more far-flung places than others to secure all those rooms, and then all the staff that would have to look after that many people. You know, ideally it'd be a dorm environment. Some places colleges are going back, some places they aren't. I don't see that happening. I think they've made their bed, bubble or no bubble. And if there comes a point where the answer is everybody going in the bubble, that's probably the point of no return for playing a season.
Jason, I'm hoping to talk about actual football and players, even though if we don't know what the situation is going to be. So I want to change the topic to at least Jamal Adams. What about the news today that the Seahawks are not going to, at least right away, give him the long-term contract extension? Does that mean more for Seattle and possible future moves? And when do you think Adams will get that extension if he doesn't see Seattle?
I can't fathom he's not extended by next year's combine at the absolute latest. And, you know, it possibly much sooner. He's going to get his money. You know, I don't think there's any debating that. You look at all they gave up. This isn't renting a guy for,
yeah,
you know, year four. This is buying the next, you know, 8 years of somebody's career if possible. You know, he's got 2 years left, and I'm sure they'd want to do a 4 to 6 year extension to secure him. So I think that part will work itself out. And I'm interested to see how Pete Carroll uses him. You know, his first year in the league with Todd Bowles, he was kind of developing into more of that, like sort of an Earl Thomas type safety. And in the last couple years, he's kind of been asked to do a whole lot more around the line of scrimmage because, let's face it, who the hell else was rushing the passer for the Jets, and who else was helping with run fits? And I have a feeling he's going to be less of the Cam Chancellor and a little bit more of the Earl Thomas. You pay a price like that for a guy, you're paying for him to affect the passing game. It's a passing league, decidedly passing. I think Jamal Adams only has 2 career interceptions. I'm guessing he's doubled that by the end of this season at the very least. Could it be a win-win? Sure. I mean, could it also be a lose-lose, though? You know, the Jets got to turn those picks into players, which they haven't done a very good job of there, and they've got a lot of holes to fill. They did lose their best player, and they seem to be getting passed by everybody else in that division. And for Seattle, I know they like to trade out of the first round, and they've done a decent job with that. But these are still valuable commodities, and they've gotten a little long in the tooth in some spots, and they still could use offensive line help. They still need a pass rusher themselves, and they've taken away their wherewithal to address some of those other things. So we'll see, but it's certainly not out of character for John Schneider. He's super aggressive. I applaud him for that. He's always been a progressive, forward-thinking GM. And, you know, they've rolled the dice with Percy Harvin. They've rolled the dice with Jimmy Graham. They're not afraid of doing this kind of thing. They've sort of had mixed results with it.
To that end, Jason, I guess on the field, the Seahawks rule everything. Is Jadeveon Clowney still in the works as we sit here?
I still think that's his best bet. He's going to be a one-year deal wherever he goes. It's going to be much closer to 10 or 12 a year than 20. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And if somebody really wanted this guy, it would have happened by now. And what he's got going against him is you could come up with 10 other pass rushers. Some of them have injury issues. Guess what? So does he. Some of them have age issues, whatever. But at any price point between $1 million a year and $5 million a year, I could give you 10 names. And all these teams are like, well, I mean, do we really need to give this guy, you know, 12-plus incentives, and we don't know how many games we're going to play, and we don't know how he's going to hold up, and we can't really, you know, we haven't been able to look at him the way we really want. Or do we go get Cam Wake for $2 million? Or do we go get Everson Griffin for $5 million, or whatever that turns out to be? Or do we go get, Vinny Ray for $1 million? Or, you know, there's an abundance of these guys still on the street. And it's weird because that's usually obviously a position that there's a premium on those players, and they tend to do better than maybe you'd think they would. But, I mean, look what Olivier Vernon just did. He took a haircut to stay with the Browns because he knows if I don't do that and I'm out on the street with all these other guys, my market's going to be further depressed because there's still 10 or 12 guys out there who you could make the case could help a football team, and none of them are really getting traction. So I still think Jadeveon Clowney is looking at no more than 12 a year. And, I don't think it's Cleveland because Vernon took his haircut. I know the Titans have dabbled with it, maybe. The Jets have some money to spend. I don't think he wants to go there. That's going to be a tough place on the prove-it deal. So we'll see. I think the market has spoken pretty relentlessly to this point.
Quick one. Who signs first, Clowney or Antonio Brown?
I think Clowney, just because there has been real money on the table.
Sure.
It's not the money that he wants, but it's still – fairly significant money. Antonio Brown has kind of been his own worst enemy, and I just don't see anybody wading in on him until the NFL clarifies his position on him, and they don't seem to be in any hurry to clarify their position because they kind of, I think, just keep waiting to see if he does anything else that would merit further inquiries for personal conduct or otherwise.
He's Jason Locken for us, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports NFL Insider, and our guest here, part of the team at Fox Sports Radio with us every week. You hear him also on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Read him on Twitter, at Jason Locken for us. Jason, thanks for stopping by, as always. Appreciate the insights. Stay safe out there, and best to the fam.
Sounds good. Same to you guys. Appreciate you, and talk to you next week. Thank you.
Be good, thanks, Jason. See ya.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Dan Beyer, as always, you get to do the call to order when we need to discuss important topics, so I hand it over to you.
Okay, just tell me this, Harmon. Well, we've got you, right? Right? We've got you.
Yeah.
We've got Ralph.
Yep.
We got T-shirt. We got Burst, right?
Yeah, everybody's here.
Yeah, yeah. Let's play the feud, boys. Let's
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, let's go.
Together. All right. Top eight answers on the board. You heard he made up the Fox family, guys. Three strikes are available. There is one pass, a.k.a. the tie shirt rule. But
yes.
if you use the pass, it will reveal an answer on the board, but no one else can use it the rest of the game. All right. Top eight answers. We're so much about Major League Baseball we've talked about already on the show, and obviously this year quite different in baseball, and one of the differences there are 16 teams will be allowed to appear in the postseason in Major League Baseball. Guys, what I want to know, who are the eight current franchises with the fewest postseason appearances in Major League Baseball history? The eight franchises that have appeared in the postseason the least amount of times. Three strikes on the board. The pass is there. Let's start with Mike Harmon.
Ooh, this is good. They had a pretty good run for a while, but can I take the Seattle Mariners?
You absolutely can. Show me the Mariners. There they are, second on our list with just four postseason appearances. Let's go over to the producer, Ryan Bershinger.
Okay, only because they haven't been around as long, even though they've made the playoffs a handful of times, I'll go with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Ooh,
there you go.
Yeah, very good thinking. Usually the answers are within the question. Show me the Rays. There they are, five times in the postseason are the Tampa Bay Rays. We go next door to Alex T-shirt, the Big A.
Dan, you know, sometimes when I'm playing this game, which is majority of the time, I'm just tossing rocks. So let's toss the Rockies in there.
Oh, the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
All right. Sometimes your answers make you seem like you're a mile high. But tonight, show me the Rockies.
Let's go.
There they are. Boom. All right. Three for three. Five appearances for the Rockies as well. Let's go over to the news desk at Ralph Irvin.
I would say when you're talking about baseball futility, you're talking about the only franchise I ever worked for. That would be the San Diego Padres.
Oh, the San Diego Padres. You know, we don't think of greatness usually when we think of the Padres. Show me San Diego. There they are. Five times as well. All right, 4 for 4. That means that there are 4 other answers on the board. Looking for the fewest postseason appearances in Major League Baseball history of the current franchises. Mariners, Rockies, Padres, and Rays all up there. Back around to Mike Harmon.
How about more hits on Robin Ventura than playoff appearances for your Texas Rangers?
All right, is it the Texas Rangers?
Oh,
just on the outside looking in, our first strike over to Ryan Bershinger.
You didn't even like the joke, so screw you.
Another younger franchise, the Miami Marlins, formerly the Florida Marlins.
Here's the great thing. The joke, too, was on Harmon's own team.
Yeah, so that's right. Well, that's why it was okay.
Yeah, he can do that. He can do that. Show me the Marlins. The greatest stat in baseball history. Guess how many appearances?
Two.
Yes, two. How many World Series? 2. Marlins, the number one answer on the board. All right, over to Big A. 3 answers left.
Dan, it's looking like my back's up against the wall, so Diamondbacks?
Oh, you're a snake, aren't you? Show me the Diamondbacks.
Let's go!
There we are.
Boom.
The Big A coming through. All right, Ralph Irvin, over to you.
I think that, you know, I thought the Rangers would be on there, so I'm just going to go a little south and say actually the Houston Astros.
The Houston Astros. All right. Is it the Astros?
No,
it's not the Astros.
Come on,
all right.
Mike.
2 strikes. There are 2 answers left. Franchises, current franchises with the fewest postseason appearances. Mike Harmon, there's a pass available.
Nationals.
Play it. Show me the Nats.
Let's
All
go!
Right, there they are. Over to Bershinger for the win. You got this.
It would be fitting on the Jason Smith Show if it's the New York Mets.
Is it the Mets?
No!
Big A!
I don't know!
Oh, my goodness.
Ralph!
I don't know.
I wrote down Blue Jays.
We suck.
Guys, it's the Brewers.
Oh! Dang it.
That's too bad. Bernie Brewer, not enough trips down the slide. So sad.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Dan, I'm currently immersed in an auction draft. Online NFL Fantasy Football 2020 auction draft. And it's curious because you have to nominate players and then the clock begins to run.
Sure.
So we'll see how crazy this is. One of the guys I decided to nominate, thinking I can get him for $1, is Will Disley, hoping he's in one piece for your Seattle Seahawks. As my second tight end for $1, that would be a fantastic buy. However, I see the bidding going on for a number of the heavyweights at the running back and quarterback positions. And I say to myself, there's opportunity for these guys to bust in a big way. And you're trying to go through the schedules, go through the personnel, and find those holes and perhaps some statistical tidbits of the past couple of years. So let's do some fantasy bust camp.
All right.
Shall you?
Love it.
Why don't we get into that a little bit? Because, well, I got to issue some rankings and do some video pieces here soon enough. So why don't we get started at the running back position? And the first guy I throw up, because maybe he'll make me throw up and his team will too, is the Cleveland Browns' very own Nick Chubb. As much as I love the player, I'm going to hate the game, and I think Kevin Stefanski is going to make me hate it if I go in for too many shares of Nick Chubb. Just because of this, Kareem Hunt is available and ready to siphon in to those touches, both as a runner and receiver. So this comes from the potential for opportunities to be stolen, goal line touches to be stolen, and if I've got to draft him as a top 8 running back, which is where he's being drafted right now, I'm out!
The Kareem Hunt factor is real, because you did see that in the second half of the season. And goal line back, I don't know if Nick Chubb is that guy. I will stay in the same division for my running back bust. And it's not as high up as you have it on your list. But I just wonder when the J.K. Dobbins show begins for the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe the Ravens say, like, we're going to try to get all we can out of Mark Ingram this upcoming season and then have the J.K. Dobbins era start. But I do think the Ravens, even as a whole offensively, and I would put Lamar Jackson in this conversation, Mike, won't produce the same amount of offensive numbers that they did a year ago. And now with the presence of Dobbins in that backfield, I'm not as high on Mark Ingram. Top 20 is where I see him. There are other guys below him that I would rather take a chance on than Mark Ingram. I think the ceiling is only so high.
For the receiver position, I love the team, and I've been on board the Drew Lock Express going back to early December when he took over and we saw some good things downfield. But I'm reticent to get excited about Cortland Sutton. Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler come in, and obviously Noah Fant, go Hawkeyes. I got to celebrate the Big Ten as I can. There's too many guys, too many mouths to feed here, so I think his ceiling is limited.
I will say this. I think one or the other in Tampa. I don't think that Chris Godwin and Mike Evans will be busts, but I do think that Tom Brady is going to find a favorite. And I actually think the favorite's going to be Chris Godwin. So I guess in this conversation, I would maybe put Mike Evans as a bust. I don't think he'll be a bust, Mike, but I just don't know if the production will be there where he's going to be drafted.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.